Good morning, church. Are you alive and well? Sure you are. Anybody who got out in this weather, first of all, has to be alive, and you must be doing well. So good to have you here today, and good to be with you. I know we introduced who I am. I do get serve as a secretary treasurer. Secretary side in the network has to do with credential holders and churches of this nature, especially in the transition times, because it's all about me keeping records to make sure general counsel knows that we have a pastoral transition going and who's the new pastor, and somebody likes that information. So that's the role. And then the treasurer, that kind of makes sense. We run over 40 different funds at the network, and from the two camps that we have in youth department and the very thing for fine arts, and trying to keep track of all of that so we can pay our bills and also do great ministry. But it is a joy to be with you today. Again, we all kind of got out. I had about a 50-minute drive here this morning, and it started off because I live in Novi, so it wasn't too bad, and then got out in the boonies here between 275. I'm sure if you go that way, it's not too bad, but we had a few little roads that they've yet to put a plow on yet, but I'm sure they're working on it at some point, right? So anyway, my wife is with me today as well, Tammy. We have 6 children, 12 grandchildren, with 3 more on the way, and we're excited about that. And all of a sudden, I got old. I'm like, how did this happen? I just had little kids in the home, and now I got all these other little ones. Also, some dear friends of ours from 33 years ago. We've been friends all throughout that time, but I had a part of my ministry time was in Canada, in Hamilton, Ontario, and Al and Elaine are with us today. They came up to visit with us this weekend, and they said, we'll go to church with you. And so they're with us today, and glad to have them as well. So it's just a blessing to be with you. Today, I'm going to be discussing the subject of pastoral transition. It's because I understand what this church is walking through as you're starting to look for a new pastor. Now, first, you have to understand this. At some point, pastoral transitions do happen. It hasn't happened for this church for a long time, but they do happen, whether sooner or later, and they happen for a variety of reasons. Some pastors retire, like Pastor Clanton, after 27 years, and we applaud and we celebrate the years and the things that God has done here. Amen? Amen. But Pastor Clanton has retired. That's the other part. You have to kind of go, yes, we celebrate what was, but we're looking forward. Now, there's other pastors just feel they have finished their season or their assignment. And God calls them to a new assignment. Like myself, I pastored in Northville for 17 years, and this position came open, and you have to kind of know I was voted into this position, and then it's like, Lord, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? And fortunately, it was part-time when it started, and it gave me a year to go, God, is this really where I'm supposed to be? And my assignment at Northville was done for this assignment, so God could use my gifts and my ministry across the state. Church, we just have to learn to trust God and that He is leading the lives of those He's called to pastor. Amen? So there are different reasons that transitions happen. Now, know this, though. There are also multiple reactions of a congregation when a pastor leaves. Some are like, yay! Not you, I'm sure. But there's these reactions that we have, and they're normal. It's just part of life. But the key is to have the right reaction. Now, probably the best reaction we can have is this. Trust that God is working everything out for good. Does that not sound like Scripture? To trust Him. He is. Especially for those who are called according to His purpose. You're the church. And the church is part of his purpose. You know that God is watching over you. He's watching over every detail of this. And by the way, Pastor Aaron, our superintendent, and myself, we're praying for you. We're praying for this pastoral search as you're walking through it. And by the way, you are a general counsel church. There are network-affiliated churches and general counsel churches. And that means you are an autonomous church, and you'll be working according to your bylaws. You have a pulpit committee, which according to your bylaws is your board. And I've already met with them twice now, and they're working through candidates to search out and find who's qualified, who's willing to come, lead, whatever that be. Now, once they've selected a candidate, again, according to your bylaws, that person would come, and then you as a church body will have the opportunity for those who are members to vote and select and confirm who your next lead pastor would be. And then you're going to move into your new history. You ever thought about new history? History has been made, but history will be made until Jesus comes. And so there will be new history made. And this church, by the way, I repeat it again, we've looked at your bylaws, and you will follow them fully. And it's real important. Bylaws mean nothing until you get to seasons like this. And then all of a sudden, it's like, what do we do? And that's why you have those to help guide and direct this. The real issue, though, that we're praying for is the right fit, the right chemistry that God has. Listen, there is no perfect pastor who has 45 years of experience who is 30 years old. We kind of wish it would happen, but there, and by the way, there's no pastor who knows how to do everything in church. Really? They don't. They don't know how to handle every situation. That is why we have the leadership of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit can grow that person, can grow the church body as he directs us. Amen? Now, I want to take a moment and talk about some character issues that the Bible speaks of regarding a pastor or an overseer of the church. I want to read from 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7, and then I'm going to walk through it. It says, here is a trustworthy saying. Do you think this is trustworthy? Do you think it's Bible? Do you think it's godly? You were awake when you got in your car and got here. Are you awake still? Amen. All right, here we go. Here's a trustworthy saying. Whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. Now, the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, and able to teach. Not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. Parenthetical or parenthetical phrase in here, if anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? Verse 6, he must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders, so that he'll not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is our guide. Your word is our help in times like this. And so, Father, thank you for giving us the word of God. Thank you for speaking through these great leaders of the past, Lord, so we can lead well today. So, Lord, be with us. Strengthen our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage gave some characteristics that we need to see in an overseer or to see someone who is spiritually mature. Verse 2 said they need to be above reproach. This does not mean the person has never sinned. It just carries the idea that they're not under accusation. They don't have blame in their life. Basically, there's nothing in their life that causes people to lose respect for them. They're living above reproach. He or she, by the way, may make a mistake, like we all do. Amen? But they're honest, they're truthful, they're repentant in how they live, and they live above suspicion. You understand that? Verse 2, another phrase is faithful to his wife. Of course, in the early church, mostly men led, but just so you know, we do see women in leadership in the Bible, both as disciples and apostles. They're there. Now, I think it's important, though, in this scripture to understand whoever that person might be, if they're married, they're going to be loyal and devoted to their spouse till death do us part. You with me so far? Okay. Verse 2 continues with other words like temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable. I believe your new pastor needs to be even-tempered. They need to be mindful. They need to have their lives under the control of the Holy Spirit. Amen. They should have a good reputation with those who know them. That's why you look at references and that nature. Another thought is they're to be hospitable. I know your new pastor will love people and love to be around people, or at least they should, right? Ministry is all about people. If we're not careful, we get locked in on programs when it's really about people, amen? At the end of verse 2, Paul uses this term, able to teach. Being a pastor is about teaching and preaching the Word of God, helping people grow in Christ so they can be all they can be with the help of the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 3, Paul continues with some additional characteristics. He says they're not given to drunkenness. Church, sadly, too many people attempt to use alcohol to forget their problems and try to relax. Just so you know, as credential holders with the Assemblies of God, we hold to abstinence from alcohol. And I can tell you why. A pastor should not need anything outside of the Holy Spirit to keep them at peace and at rest. Amen? Our control comes from the Spirit of Christ within us. And I think we all ought to say amen to that. Paul tells us next, they're not violent, but they're gentle, not quarrelsome. Again, it shows that this leader has an inner peace about them. They have a gentleness in how they approach situations, and they do so with a calmness. They do it with tenderness. And at the end of verse 3, tells us that the pastor is not a lover of money. Just remember, a church leader should not be obsessed with money or a slave to money. The peace of God allows them to be content. Right? That's the secret, Paul says, to be content. And it frees them from the entanglement of materialism. Now, it does not mean that the church should not take care of them, because we're also taught in Scripture that those who teach and preach are worthy of being taken care of the best way the church can. Amen? I'm just making sure you're still with me. Verse 4 and 5. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him. And he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. And then that parenthetical phrase that is actually in Scripture, if anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? It's a challenging Scripture. But understand, no pastor has a perfect family. Okay? But whoever they are, their children should respect them, and they should know how to manage their family time well. They know how to balance. I kind of talk about a guy on a tightrope who's trying to get from one side to the other, okay? So what does he do when the wind blows from his left? He leans into the wind to keep balance. And I think in ministry, many times you have to listen to where the wind's coming from. If it's coming from family, is it coming from ministry? Is it coming from where, you know, just the world? And we go, wait a minute, you need to understand and lean into that, because I want to get to the other side. Amen? So no pastor has a perfect family, but Paul asks this question, how can they take care of the church if family's not managed well? Well, if they do manage their family well, then the church will do well. Then in verse 6, Paul says he must not be a recent convert. How many would like a pastor next week? He just got saved this week. It would not be wise. This is scripture, right? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. Of course, you want someone who's given their life to the Lord and has had some time in their walk with God to develop with the Lord. The position of leading the church, by the way, has the potential of pride, like it or not. And Paul gives this warning to not let the position of being a pastor become prideful. And that's why they need that time. The church leader should be humble, because that leader won't be tempted like the devil was. If you remember, he wanted to be like God. Lastly, for an overseer, Paul says he must have a good reputation with outsiders so that he won't fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. The pastor you're looking for should want to have a touch outside of the church. As they become known, their reputation should be strong in this community. And your Pastor Clanton, he had great touch outside of here with the community. And I believe with that, people will want to be drawn to be a part of this church body. Now, the devil's trap is to cause the church to be ineffective. So it's important for us to have the right pastor in this church. Amen? So you can be effective for what God has called you to do in this community. Church, this scripture is powerful, and it helps us know what we're kind of looking for in a leader. Now, the Michigan Ministry Network will vet every pastoral resume that is sent, because we want to make sure that pastor you choose meets the basic godly qualifications that this passage is speaking about. Your church board then will follow up on references, and they'll do interviews before they'll present a candidate to be voted upon. But something I want you to understand is this. This is not a beauty contest. It's not where we put everyone up on stage and have them compete with their talents and all of this to go, I want that. Church, you need to understand, you need the pastor that God has for your next season. Now, I do wish this was a quick process for you, but the key is it needs to be a thorough process. And just so everyone here in the church knows, you just need to be patient with the process and continue to pray. You go, prayer? Prayer, I'm telling you, is powerful. And could I remind you, God is on the throne. God is watching over his church. He's working, by the way, on the heart of the person that he wants to lead this place. And he's working with the board as they're sensing and saying, God, we want who you want. So the key line here is that we need to trust God as he works all this out on behalf of his church. Amen. Today, I do want to take a moment. I'm going to walk you through a biblical transition. I want you to see that God can be right in the middle of transitions. The key is for each of you to have the right perspective as you walk through this transition. This morning, let me see if I can illustrate it a little bit. I have some helpers that were going to help me hand out something. Where are you? If not, let's go. On your feet. All right. I think I have four of you. If not, my wife can help. Is there a couple more? There's another one coming. Great. Right here, I have four little baskets. If you'll just each take one, and you kind of either go to a section, you're going to be my ushers, okay? Not my hushers, my ushers. And I want you to take them. And here's what we're going to do. Inside that box, there are four different items, okay? One is, before you hand out, hold up. You go over, keep walking, good. Thank you, ladies, for helping me. In there are some peanut M&Ms, plain M&Ms, and some peanut butter M&Ms. And then there are also Mott's fruit snacks, okay? Because some people just don't like chocolate, right? So here's what I want you to do. I want you, as it comes around, select whatever you would like. If you want to take two, or three, or none, it's your choice, because I want to see what your perspective is of what you will choose, because it's your choice, right? All right, ladies, help me out here, and let's give the congregation an opportunity to choose something. Also, I like candy because it's got sugar in it and it will keep you awake. But if you're diabetic, please be considerate of that. How many have ever gotten candy in church before? I walked in and everybody's like, is it Halloween? It's Halloween, I guess. But anyway. Well, as they're doing that, I see some meat selections over here. Can you kind of hold up what you chose? I see the peanut butter. I see peanut. I see, is that the fruit snack thing? Yeah. You like that fruit snack stuff? Made with like vegetables and. Did you choose yet? It's coming. Did you guys get to choose? Not yet. The first shall be last. You got here and, yeah, you thought the first were going to be first, but that didn't happen. Let's just see what you got. Oh, y'all went with the peanut butter too. You like that? Oh, over here. Look at here. Are y'all guys okay? Because you got plain and peanut. But as a couple, you're doing okay, right? Y'all didn't choose the same thing, but you're doing fine. In the back, what did you choose? Oh, I got these peanut butter ones. Okay. Oh, did you only get two? Is that okay? But he chose the same thing. Then we have peanut, we have plain. Oh, we got somebody who went a little bit both ways. They went with the fruit snacks. And over here, yeah. Oh. Peanut butter. Boy, the peanut butter went over well today. Peanuts. And a fruit snack. That way you've got a little bit of a balance there between it. How about over on the far side? I think it's interesting that some of you just chose one when there was a supply. It was not lacking. All right. Well, I do think from what I can see, over the back over here, what did you get? Yeah, I think peanut, everybody who got the peanut butter M&Ms, hold them up. I think the peanut butter M&M's won today for sure. Yeah. It's interesting just to take a moment though, because all of you, when you looked at the box, you had a choice. It may have not been your best choice. It may have not been what you would normally choose, but you had a choice. And you could have, did anybody not take anything? Okay. He had a choice to say, I'm going to be healthy, and everybody else in here is not. So, no, but I mean, and those who probably took the fruit snacks were probably a little more conscious of like, I don't know if I should have the chocolate. And some might be allergic to the peanut butter or the peanuts, and you had to make a choice and whatever. So it's just interesting that you understand all of you have different perspectives. Yet, there was a consensus with the peanut butter M&Ms, right? It's just interesting. I have up here a couple of more, I have a shareable, and I have a good old Hershey's milk chocolate. I mean, there's just kind of nothing like this. But they're free this morning. They're a gift to anybody who wants to come and get them. Unashamed. Which one? All right. Anybody else? In the back, you have to come and get it. It's okay. I'll wait. Oh, okay, they're on their way, but you meet them. All right. Keep coming, because we're going to see. I'm pulling out my favorite. Now, understand, hang in here for a moment, okay? Understand, you're going to have to move and respond in this transition as well. You've got to go, what's my perspective? And I've got to do something. Let me tell you, the main thing you're going to need to do is pray. That is your role. To say, God, I bring this, I bring my petition, my request, my supplication. I am laying it before you because, God, we want the leader that you have. I don't want just a person. I don't want just a leader. I want the God leader for this next season. You need what God has for this next season. And you've waited patiently. And he's like, do you have another Hershey bar? Listen, just because of your patience, you'll get the giant Hershey's bar. All right. Your perspectives are different based on what you see or what you want. Now, think about perspective while you're looking for a pastor. There are different reasons we have different perspectives. We view things through the lenses of who we are, and we view them through our life's journey. Okay? We've learned and we filter information. Our backgrounds are different. I was born in Alabama, raised in Mississippi, schooled in Florida, and then in 1988, God brought me to Kalamazoo, Michigan. And I'm like, I was 20 before I went to Tennessee, and I thought, in fact, I remember going to North Carolina, and I thought, North Carolina, I have gone north. And I was 20. And I was 20 when I went to Tennessee. But then God had a season in my life and a place he wanted to bring me. It wasn't part of my perspective or my dream or my filters at all, other than my filter to say, God, I'll serve you anywhere. Right? And so we all these different things. An optimistic person, right? When they look at a glass and it's half full, that's how they see it, right? That's how an optimistic person sees it. And they see, boy, we got possibilities. But then the pessimistic person does what? Sees the glass half empty. And they see the obstacles and how are we going to get through this? And I found out from my dear friend, Al, who's an engineer. Do you know how engineers see it? They say, the glass is twice as big as it needs to be to hold what is holding, right? Our perspective is a very important thing. So let me change your perspective one more time. And that is this. So now we have a 1 pound Hershey's bar. First one to come gets it. Boy, they're thinking. Okay, now go ahead and take it. Isn't it interesting? You didn't come for the little one, but you never knew there would be a big one either. But the point is, her reactions changed based on what was presented. Isn't that amazing? You just can't wait. All right. And again, we can just keep going bigger and bigger. Yeah, they're like, why didn't you bring that out earlier?
My mom's going to love these. I appreciate it.
All right. Let me try to explain what I just did. The first ones who got the first round of candy. You got the little minis. Everybody kind of got a choice at that. Or they came and got the smaller candy. Some of them may be thinking, I should have waited, you know. Maybe there's going to be something else. Because the one lady here, her perspective changed from the early ones when we were just pulling up candy. It was great. But boy, with the big candy, both those guys were like, I'm up. I'm in now. As you're walking through this, you're going to need to know that patience has to be a part of the process. Otherwise, you just jump at what you get. I don't need you to do that. God knows what he's doing, and we've got to just take it a day at a time. The smaller candy, by the way, was not wrong. In fact, how many know we should moderate our intake? The key is that God has the right person for the church, but I want a God perspective. I want to be careful that I just don't look at my perspective. I want a pastor who's going to preach well. I want a pastor who's going to just love me and visit me in the hospital. I want a pastor who, all these different perspectives of what you think. What does God think? What does God want? What is God seeing for your next season? One of my favorite scriptures, and maybe yours, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It's just so powerful. But trust in the Lord with all your heart. The heart is the seat of emotions. And that's where our emotions, if we're not careful, will take over. Instead of, I'm trusting the Lord with all my emotions. All these feelings and perspectives that I have, I've got to trust him with my heart. And then lean not to the way I'm thinking, my own understanding. You hear that? We tend to, Lord, this is what I'm feeling and this is what I'm thinking, but I'm going to trust the Lord. And then in all my ways, I'm going to acknowledge him. And then he shall direct your paths. So it's letting my emotions and my thinking and my choices, I'm saying, God, this is all about you. Did you know it's really not about Woodland Church? Because Woodland Church exists for the purpose of God. It exists for the purpose of seeking and saving the lost, which is why Jesus came. It's all about God. It's all about his glory. It's about his purpose. That's what we want. That's why I want a God perspective, a God understanding so he'll direct my paths. Amen? Amen. So let me briefly walk you through seven perspectives that we see from Scripture that happened in Scripture. Deuteronomy 31, 7 through 8, we read this, that Moses summoned Joshua and said to him, in the presence of all Israel. I just want you to kind of get a clue of what's happening. There is somewhere between 2 to 3 million people gathered. And Moses is summoning Joshua, and we're about to have a conversation. And he does so with Joshua. He says, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them. And you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. From biblical history, we know that Moses was kind of the ultimate leader of the Israelites. He's nearing, though, the end of his leadership. And Joshua is about to become the next leader of Israel. You have to understand this thought, though, that this transition began a long time before it happened. In fact, let me take you back to Numbers chapter 27. Verse 15 to 16, Moses said to the Lord, may the Lord, the God who gives breath to all living things, appoint someone over this community. The whole transition began with a conversation between God and Moses. Moses' request of God is pretty simple. Give these people a leader who's going to take them to the next place. That's my prayer for you. That's Pastor Dennis Clanton's prayer for you, for this church. Give this church a leader who will take them to the next place. Let's see what happened with Moses' request in Numbers 27, verse 18. So the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, I like this phrase, a man in whom is the spirit of leadership, and lay your hand on him. And then we read down in verse 23 that he laid his hands on him and commissioned him as the Lord instructed through Moses. You see, the making of a leader had been in the works for a while. God had been planning it. You need to remember that God has a plan for you. Today, let me give you these perspectives to keep in mind during this transition. Perspective number one, ready? Transitions are normal. Transitions was something that Israel had been through before. If you remember, they transitioned from the very beginning of Abraham to Isaac, and then from Isaac to Jacob as their leader. And then they went from this transition of freedom into captivity. And then from captivity back into freedom when Moses becomes their new leader. It should have been great, but it had struggles, if you remember. And now the leadership of Israel is about to pass from Moses to Joshua. Now, think about this for a moment. This is the first major transition in the lives of these particular people because they had only known Moses as their leader. Many of you, this may be the first time you're walking through a transition like this because Pastor Clanton pastored here for 27 years. But by the way, just remember, transitions are normal, okay? Second perspective, transitions require strength and courage. In verse 7, Deuteronomy 31, Moses tells Joshua, be strong and courageous. Could I encourage you today? Be strong in the Lord. This wasn't about you being strong in the church. This is about you growing in the Lord. And I want you to have good courage because God has got great things ahead. You say, but we've already been there. You've been there, but you haven't been where God's taken you. And you be of good courage. God, there are great things. How many lost people do you think still live in this community? How many homes did you drive by on your way here that have lost people that did not do what you did today, got out of bed and said, I'm going to be in the house of the Lord? How many? 10? 100? Many. Thousands. Church, we still have a mission ahead of us, and it's God's mission, and you need courage as you're walking through this. A third perspective is this. Transitions are part of God's plan. Verse 7 of 31, I love what he said. Moses says to Joshua, for you must go with this people. Notice the wording, you must go. The transition is God's will. Joshua has to follow God's will. Whoever is called here has to follow God's will. Your will be done. Your kingdom come. You forgive. You lead. It's all about us letting God's will be performed. Let me give you a truth here. There is no better place to be than in God's will. Where else would you want to be? And that's where you are right now. You're saying, well, we don't have a pastor yet. In this transition time, and I'm going to say this at the end again, I'm asking you, I would almost want to tell you, church, you've been called here. This is not a time to skip out. This is a time to lay your feet founded on where God placed you, because he knew he was calling you in the middle of this transition for what God's going to do next. So you hang in here. You go, well, we don't have a pastor right now. Then you step up in your leadership. You do what God's gifted you to do, and you be a part of the church. Amen? You okay with that? You thought that was a little hard. Yes, because you've been called higher. You've been called up. God has saved you. He has redeemed you. He has gifted you. He wants to use you for his glory. He has placed you here. So you take your place. Amen? Perspective number four. Transitions lead to new vision and opportunities. Listen to Deuteronomy 31:7. Into the land that the Lord swore to their forefathers to give them. Joshua is being called, listen, to do something that Moses was not called to do. Moses' call is great. 40 years as he leads these people. 40 years to work through all the junk of their hearts and from the past, and many, almost, well, all of them had died off that were over 20 except for Joshua and Caleb. And now this new group that God has placed here in this season, and for Israel, it was a new vision to take a new land. You have to understand, God does not do everything he does through one leader. I loved pastoring in Northville for my season. But God's not done with Northville. God had another pastor who's to step in and lead and keep moving forward. And you have to understand there are seasons. And God sees transition beyond a person's lifetime. How many churches do you think Paul planted? Quite a few. How many exist today? None that we have written in the Word of God. But what Paul did is what God called Paul to do. And by the way, you got the gospel. I wish Turkey, which is Ephesus, would still be a Christian nation. And there were seasons it was, but we have an enemy who's trying to stop the gospel. But the gospel is good news, and the good news still changes lives. And this is a good news church. And it's going to change lives. And for whatever season God has, you've been called to be the church. Just know God's leading you to a new future, new vision, new opportunities to bring God glory. God is for you. God is working a plan. So trust the Lord. Perspective number five, transitions lead to God's divine blessings. Listen to verse 7 again, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. How many would like a God-sized blessing? What's wrong with the rest of you? They're like, yeah, I guess. I'm like, God, show up in my life. God, have your way. He owns the cattle on a thousand, you know. He is Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. He is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. You know, Pastor, we've been praying for Pastor Clanton. And in the midst of that, I just finished up my cancer treatment. You know, but listen, my hope is in the Lord and what he's doing and how he's moving. And I'm planning on going in this thing as long as I can go because he's my healer or my deliverer. But you have to know who God is and say, God, I want a God-sized blessing. The transition that's happening for Israel, everyone is about to be involved. And everyone is about to receive a part of what God is doing. I want to encourage you again, stay involved. Be ready to be blessed, because I think God's got some good days ahead for you. Serve, stay here, connected. Because I believe when they got to the other side, they said, this land is yours. There's some land for you to take. There's some land for you to take. There's some land for you to take. Young people, there is some land for you to take. God has called you to it. Perspective number 6. God's transitions have God attached to them. Verse 8. The Lord himself. Can you just hear Moses? Millions of people. And he's telling Joshua, the Lord himself goes before you. And he will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Church, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will not leave you. He will not abandon you. He is, because Pastor Clanton is retired, he maybe is stepping down, but God is with you. Because they're thinking, Moses, we've always come to you. Moses, we've always needed you. No, you've always needed him. And he will be there. We need to remember and gain this perspective. God's going to walk the whole process out with you. He's attached to it, and he'll see it through. Perspective number 7, this last one. Transitions require faith and confidence. The very last part of verse 8, and I'll read it here, Moses tells Joshua, do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. Moses knew the potential of fear. Go back when he's first leading, I don't even speak that well, and what am I, who am I, and I murdered, and you hear all that. He's just reminding Joshua, there's going to be moments that you're going to go, I don't know. Don't be afraid. And don't be discouraged. Moses is reminding the people, and I'm reminding you today, have faith in God. Confidence that God is leading your board where they need to be led. There's no need to be afraid. Rather be faith-filled, confident. God's doing something new here. And that's going to be a good thing for Woodland Church. Right here in your community. Amen? I close with this thought. Remember that God is good and he has not forgotten his church. Remember, you never owned your pastor. God owned him. And by the way, you don't even own the church. God owns the church. In fact, the church is not this building. The church is you. And today, as I look at the snow, it's like God tells us, I'll take care of the sparrow. We sang about it this morning. Do you think he's going to let his church fail? He loves his church. And so God's going to watch over you. He's looking out for you. So what's the application? What do we walk away with? Well, I gave you 7 perspectives just to help your mind to go, you know what, this is normal. This is not abnormal. Other churches have gone through it. This church has gone through a history of that. Israel went through it. You know what? For 2,000 years, the church has gone through transitions. It transitioned from Jesus to these 12 disciples, 11, and then Malachi was added, and then apostles like Paul. And it went through, and Paul goes to Timothy, and Timothy on further, and Silas and Barnabas. I'm glad for all those, but I'm glad they transitioned to the next. That's just where we are until Jesus comes again. It's normal. All those perspectives, I just want to have a God perspective that I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be concerned, because I think we'll get discouraged because, you know, it's been a whole month now. Don't get discouraged. God's going to have people preaching the Word of God. It's about you growing anyway. You just keep growing in God. Don't wait for, I'm going to get a pastor and then I'll grow again. No. You're here because the Holy Spirit will grow you and speak to you and launch your life, even maybe before a pastor steps into this pulpit to lead. Because God's working in you and for you. So the applications today is this. Stay in unity. Stay in unity. Because God commands His blessing where there is unity. I'm not saying you can't give your opinion. I'm not saying you can't share your thought. But you work through that and say, you know what though? We're going to stay unified. Because we know God is for us and not against us. We know that God is working, because that's the perspective I'm working with. Because God has never failed His church. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread. God has got this. But we've got to keep it unified in unity. And then keep a God perspective. And I believe you will see great things. Young people, who do you think is going to be the old people in another 27 years? That there might be another transition. I don't know, but it just happens if the Lord tarries. Like I said, all of a sudden, me and my wife, we got married, we had all these little kids, and now all of a sudden, they're having kids, and it's like, what happens with time? That's why we just take every day, and we honor the Lord with that day. For this is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice, and I'll be glad. And this last word kind of gets me. I'll be glad in it. Don't you love the it's that happen? Because I don't know what the it today is. We're going to have to drive through snow to get home. But I'm going to rejoice while you're wiping off your car, the snow. What are you going to do? God, why are you doing? No, God, thank you. That snow reminds me that I am as white as snow. You have cleansed me. You've made me whole. I praise and I worship you, for you know what the ground needs. You understand. Do you see the God perspective? But we tend to get our own perspectives. I'm like, I got to leave here and brush my car off. And, you know, change it. Unified with God, perspective with God, and you're going to be okay. Amen? You're going to be okay. I'm not telling you it won't be hard. I'm not telling you how long it'll be. I have no idea. But we're going to trust the Lord, because it's His church. Amen? So I'm going to simply pray for you as a congregation and for your board. And then we're going to dismiss you. And then you got to do whatever the it's are of today while you're rejoicing in it. Amen. Father, thank you for this congregation that you've placed here. I know that maybe not all of them are here today with the weather, but Lord, those online that are listening and walking through this as well, I pray for a strength for them. I really do. I pray for a courage just to rise up. God, you're doing something really good. God, I pray for the board of this church who has the task of being a pulpit committee to walk through resumes and references and candidates. That, Lord, that they're not seeing it like a beauty contest, but they're seeing it from the eyes of God. They're seeing what God is going to do and how you're going to work. And Lord, I just pray that you put a covering over this church during this time. Help them stay unified. And Lord, bless them, I pray, in the mighty name of Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our soon coming King. We bless you and thank you for all you've done. To you be the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you, and may you have a Jesus-filled week. Amen. God bless. Shake hands, hug necks. I'm not sure the southern term of hugging necks. That just sounds like strangling to me. But be careful if you're hugging a neck, okay? God bless you.